Welcome to Torti Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Zayin, Chapter 37. Chapter 36, the previous parak, took us to the middle of Jehoiakim's reign and his terrible callousness towards the words of Hashem. Chapter 37 brings us to the middle of Tzidkiyahu's rule and begins a series of prakim that will detail the history of the people of Yudah as they come closer and closer to the Chorban, ultimately reaching its sad conclusion in Parak 39. The chain of events in Chapter 37 is set off when Paro Necho of Egypt moves some of his troops to the border between Egypt and Israel. If you remember, Paro Necho, he's the one who killed Yoshiyahu in the battle at Megiddo, ultimately leading to Yisrael, Yehuda being taken over as a vassal state, first by Egypt, then by Babylonia. This movement of troops by Paro sets off an avalanche of hope in Yehuda. Egypt actually has the power to take down Babylonia. They are a strong country, and if they would throw their hat into the ring, there would be a real chance of throwing off the Babylonian yoke. Of course, Yirmiyahu knows that this will not change anything. Even if Egypt does decide to fight, it won't change Hashem's decree, and any resistance against the Babylonians just makes the punishment worse and more certain. Incredibly, Tzidkiyahu, who can't seem to figure out Yirmiyahu's role, sends people to ask Yirmiyahu in Pasuk Vav, in Pasuk Bet, Hitpalel na ba'adenu el Hashem Elokeinu, pray on our behalf to Hashem, asking him to pray that the Egyptians actually help them succeed in their rebellion against the Babylonians. Yirmiyahu is astounded. Has Tzidkiyahu not heard his prophecy this entire time? Does he not know that Yirmiyahu is vehemently against this war? Does he believe that Yirmiyahu is a true prophet? If he does, why does he not believe his prophecy? Yirmiyahu is telling him to submit and not fight the war. If he doesn't believe that Yirmiyahu is a true prophet, why ask him to pray at all? We'll hopefully have a better understanding of Tzidkiyahu's thoughts on prophecy by the end of this parak. Yirmiyahu responds to Tzidkiyahu's messengers in verses 9 and 10. Ko amar Hashem, says Yirmiyahu, so says Hashem, Al tis'u nashechem lemor haloch yelchu me'aleinu akazdim, ki lo yelechu. Don't trick yourselves into thinking that the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, will leave us. They are not going to. Ki im hakitem kol chayal kazdim hanelchamim idchem. If you would somehow defeat the entire Chaldean army, the ones who are fighting against you, v'nisharu bam anashim medukarim, and the only people who were left were wounded people lying in their tents, ish ba'ahalo yakumu v'sarfu ta'ir azot ba'ish. Those wounded people, the ones who aren't really good fighters, they would get up and burn down the city. Says Yirmiyahu, this war has nothing to do with the strength of the army and has everything to do with God's will. You must change your perspective. How can you ask me to pray on your behalf that the Egyptians will come and join your war? At this point, Yirmiyahu decides to leave the corrupt capital of Jerusalem and bring his message directly to the people. He has lost faith too many times in Tzidkiyahu. Maybe the people will be on his side. Maybe he can create some type of grassroots movement to undermine the war effort. As he's walking around and spreading the message in the area of Binyamin, he is accosted by someone named Yiriah ben Shelmiah ben Hanania, possibly Hanania ben Azor's grandson. If you remember, he was the Navi Sheker that broke Yirmiyahu's yoke, but maybe not, maybe they just have the same name. Yiriah grabs Yirmiyahu and screams, El HaKazdim Atano fail! You've fallen to the Chaldeans. Instead of accusing Yirmiyahu now of being a Navi Sheker, a false prophet, the new accusation is that he's working for the Babylonians. This actually does make sense that he would be, because Yirmiyahu is trying to convince Tzidkiyahu to submit to the Babylonians and end the war. Yirmiyahu shoots back and he says, Vayomer Yirmiyahu, Sheker, it's a lie. Eneinu ofel el HaKazdim, I'm not defecting to the Chaldeans, to the Babylonians. They don't believe him. V'lo shama alav. V'itpos Yiriah b'Yirmiyahu. Yiriah grabs Yirmiyahu. V'yivyu el hasarim. And they arrest him and they bring him to the officials. Now, the language of v'itpos, if you remember, is the same language as Yirmiyahu's trial in Parak 26. So we've actually seen this script before. The sarim, the officers, as they did in Parak 26 in Yirmiyahu's trial, in the time of Jehoiakim, they'll realize that Yirmiyahu's not guilty and they'll set the record straight. That's what we expect as a reader. That's what maybe Yirmiyahu expects. The Sarim are going to be his saviors. But this is a different time and a different case. Being accused of being a Navi Sheker is one thing. Being accused of working for the other side during a war is quite another. And that is exactly what happens to Yirmiyahu. Like Vitzu Hasarim al Yirmiyahu, they jump on him, and just note the violent language here. V'hiku oto, they start to beat him up. V'netznu oto beit ha'asur beit Yehonatan ha'sofer ki oto asu lebeit ha'kela. They sent him to prison. This prison was called the house of the Yonatan ha'sofer, a scribe named Yonatan. That's what it used to be, but now it had been made into a jail. There's no trial this time like there was before. And this jail is not a luxury jail. It's not a chatzar ha-matara that Yirmiyahu is going to find himself in soon. That's the jail on the palace courtyard where they kind of leave you alone. You're more like house arrest. But it's not like a luxury white-collar crime institution. It's more like a torture chamber. So the one that Yirmiyahu was put in before at the Beit HaMikdash, what happens to Yirmiyahu here, he's going to be really put into a cell where he's not going to be given any food. He's going to be beaten. It's just this horrific place and a place that can lead ultimately to his death. Yirmiyahu stays in the cell for Yamim Rabim until it seems inevitable that he's going to die there. But then once again, he is saved. His salvation this time comes in the form of none other than Tzidkiyahu, who calls him to Jerusalem to consult with him, which then saves him from ultimately dying in this terrible prison. Once in Jerusalem, Tzidkiyahu brings Yirmiyahu to a private place and asks him, Hayesh Davar Me'et Hashem? Do you have a word for me from Hashem? Do you have a prophecy for me? Now, Tzidkiyahu's question is astounding. The parak began with Yirmiyahu telling Tzidkiyahu's messengers that the city would fall, that the outcome of the war did not depend on the strength of the army. Even a wounded Babylonian army would beat Tzidkiyahu because that is Hashem's will. Why would Tzidkiyahu ask Yirmiyahu now for a nevuah? Does he think that anything has changed? The answer is yes. Tzidkiyahu has a very particular view of nevuah, and that is, and this is something that we discussed before, how could Tzidkiyahu ask Yirmiyahu to pray for him? Doesn't he know that Yirmiyahu is against the war, and does he believe that Yirmiyahu is a true Navi? So this is Tzidkiyahu's view of prophecy, and this is probably a lot of people at the time's view of prophecy, and that is that the Navi is somewhat in control of the prophecy. Now, before we jump on Tzidkiyahu, just realize this is not entirely far-fetched. We know that a Navi sees his prophecies in images and then chooses the words with which to represent the image that he or she sees. So it's just one step further to say that the Navi can kind of spin the image into the direction that he wants it to go, and then that becomes what the prophecy is. Tzidkiyahu thinks that now that he has saved Yirmiyahu's life, Yirmiyahu owes him one and will tilt the prophecy in his favor. He doesn't realize that Yirmiyahu is living in a world of truth, while he's living in a world of spin, where people infuse the truth with their own agenda. Truth to Tzidkiyahu is malleable. You can make it what you want. Yirmiyahu doesn't live like that. Truth is what it is. It doesn't change just because you really want it to. This approach of Tzidkiyahu relates to an idea about the false prophets that I heard from Rabbi Gamliel Shmalo. Throughout this sefer, we've been trying to understand how do people become false prophets and why do people believe them. Rabbi Shmalo explains that the false prophets of that day were like our political commentators. Please excuse me for a minute if I become almost a little America-centric here. That's the political system that I know. But the way it seems to work in America is that you have people that are policymakers, and then you have people that are political commentators. And each policymaker has political commentators that are on their side, that hold their views. So, I mean, just for example, Republicans have Fox News, Democrats have MSNBC to paint it with broad strokes. And what happens? The policymakers make certain policy, they have certain ideals, and then the political commentators sell those ideas to the people through the Sunday morning talk shows or et cetera, different modes of communication through the media. Now, if you would ask people, are you telling, is this your opinion or is it the truth? You might get different answers. The line between truth and opinion, between your political viewpoint and, what's actually right is gray. It's not necessarily clear what's truth and what's opinion. That's how people thought of prophets at the time. There's the policymakers, that's the king and the officers, they make the policy, and then the prophet is supposed to support the policy and sell it to the people. And that's how Tzidkiyahu sees Yirmiyahu. This actually comes up in a different place in Tanakh. We see that Ahav in Malachim Alper Kaf Bet, chapter 22, Ahav wants to go to war. He's trying to convince Yehoshaphat, the king of Judah, to go to war with him. Ahav is the king of Israel. So he goes and he asks his group of prophets. Now they happen to be false prophets. And they say in response to Ahav, yes, Ahav, of course you should go to war. They know that's what Ahav wants to hear. Yehoshaphat, who's a God-fearing person, hears this. He sees this scene with Ahav asking his false prophets, should I go? But telling them, they tell him exactly what he wants to hear. And Yehoshaphat turns back to Ahav and says, don't you have a real prophet among here? Isn't there like the other kind of prophet, the one that speaks truth? And Ahav responds, yes, there is one. His name is Michayu ben Imla. But, he hates me. He always gives me bad prophecies, so I don't like to ask him things. So just think about this ideology of how you think about prophets. Ahav says, yeah, Michayu ben Imla, he's the kind of prophet that you're talking about. But, he always gives me bad prophecies, so I don't like to ask him because he tells me things that I don't want to hear. That's how Tzidkiyahu thinks about prophets. I make the policy, and if you like me, then you'll tell me as a prophet the prophecy that backs up my policies. Yirmiyahu has a totally different perspective. Yirmiyahu says, I speak truth. I'm not your spin. I'm not your media consultant. I don't just give prophecy that backs up the administration. If you want to know what Hashem wants of you, so ask me what Hashem wants of you. But don't ask me thinking that I'm just going to back you up. So Yirmiyahu responds to Tzidkiyahu, and he says, Vayomer Yirmiyahu, yesh, yes, I have a prophecy for you. Vayomer, biyad melech Bavel, tinatein. You will be given over in the hands of the king of Bavel. Now notice in this pasuk the double Vayomer. It says, Vayomer Yirmiyahu, yesh, Yirmiyahu says, yes, I have a prophecy. Vayomer biyad melech Bavel, tinatein. Why do we need that double Vayomer? This is still Yirmiyahu speaking. It doesn't have to introduce a speaker. So every time you see this type of double Vayomer, it means that there was some type of interruption, and the person had to speak again. So what happened here? Probably. Now I'm reading into the text a little bit. Tzidkiyahu says to Yirmiyahu, do you have a new prophecy for me? Are you going to back me up this time? And Yirmiyahu says, yes, I have a prophecy. But he doesn't go on and tell Tzidkiyahu what it is because he knows it's not the prophecy that Tzidkiyahu wants to hear. And remember, Tzidkiyahu just saved Yirmiyahu's life. He could very easily send him back to this Beit Yehonatan HaSofer if Yirmiyahu says something he doesn't like. Yirmiyahu doesn't necessarily want to get on Tzidkiyahu's bad side. He's already given this prophecy many times to Tzidkiyahu. So he's quiet. He says yes. And then Tzidkiyahu probably says, well, what is it? And Yirmiyahu probably said back, you don't want to hear my prophecy. And Tzidkiyahu says, no, I really do. And then Yirmiyahu says, okay, you're going to be given over into the hands of the king of Bavel. You're going to be taken over. You're going to lose this war, which is what he's been saying the whole time. Then in the next pasuk, verse 18, you have a Vayomer again. Vayomer Yirmiyahu el melech Tzidkiyahu. Yirmiyahu starts again speaking to Tzidkiyahu. Why the third Vayomer? Because Imagine Sitkil's response. Yirmiyahu, how could you give me such a bad prophecy after I saved your life? It's not supposed to work that way. You owe me one. You owe me a good prophecy. And now Yirmiyahu has to explain to Sitkil once again how prophecy works. So he says to Sitkil in verse 18, Vayomi Yirmiyahu lamelech Sitkil. Yirmiyahu says to Sitkil, Machatati lach ula avdecha ula amaze ki netanamoti el beit hakele. What did I ever do to you that you're throwing me in jail? Do you think I make up these prophecies by myself? Do you think I'm a traitor trying to undermine the war effort? And by the way, Tzidkio, verse 19, Ayei nevi'echem asher nivu lechem leimor lo yavo melech bavel aleichem va'al haaretz hazot. Where are all those false prophets that said that the king of Babylonia would never be able to enter this land? Look, he's already exiled Yehoyakim, Yehoyachin, all the Harash Vamasker, the artisans, he's taken vessels from the Beit HaMikdash, and he's besieging your country. Your country is going down. Where are all your false prophets? I'm the only true prophet. Why won't you believe me? Then he goes on in verse 20, Va'atashma na Adoni Amelech. Listen to me. Tipolna tchina tilefanecha. Va'atashiveni Beit Yehonatan HaSofer v'lo amutsham. Even though I gave you a prophecy that you don't like, please don't punish me and send me back to prison. I'm going to die there. Don't you realize I'm only speaking the word of Hashem? Don't you realize I'm just a vessel? I'm just a microphone. I don't make up my own prophecies. I live in a world of truth when the rest of the world is living in falsehood. Tzidkiel's response is interesting in verse 21. Vayitzavei ha-melech Tzidkiel v'fkudu al Yirmiyahu v'chatzar matara. V'natan lo kikar lechem layom michutz haofim atom kol alechem min ha'ir v'yashev Yirmiyahu v'chatzar matara. Tzidkiel can't decide what to do. On the one hand, he really does believe Yirmiyahu is a true prophet. He doesn't want to put him into Beit Yehonatan HaSofer and be responsible for his death. On the other hand, he can't possibly let Yirmiyahu keep spreading this prophecy that's undermining the war effort with Tzidkiyahu is not going to give up. So he compromises, and now we understand why Yirmiyahu was in that Chatzar Matara, that imprisonment on the palace grounds that we saw him in earlier in the Sefer, but the Prakim were out of order. That's why he puts him in the Chatzar Matara, so that he can't continue giving his prophecy. And there, and he's under Tzidkiyahu's watchful eye, so that Tzidkiyahu could control him, but he also doesn't want to kill him. And there it says, Tzidkiyahu gave him bread every day until all the bread in the city was gone. And that's referencing the siege that the Babylonians are doing right now. Yerushalayim is in a really bad place. And here Yirmiyahu is imprisoned in the Chatzar Matara, watching the downfall of Jerusalem, the downfall that he is trying so hard to stop. And we know what's going to happen next is actually that his cousin, Hanamel, is going to come and he's going to buy the land in Anatot in Perek Lamed Bet. This Perek comes later, but that hasn't happened yet. Yirmiyahu is going to give his nevuot of hope from this Chatzar Matzara. Thank you for studying together. Li'ilo Nishmat, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.